Yeah, I don't know if I've ever been as excited about where Key looks or where Key's at, you know, since probably 2020 when he came up. He's healthy. He dominated his offseason workouts. His body looks great. His swing looks good. He's made some adjustments there. And, you know, I really feel like he's going to have a strong year for us. And it's important for him. I mean, he played in 96 games last year. When he's on the field, we're a better team. One of the best defenders in baseball. And we're just better with him on the field. And I'm really just happy with how he approached his offseason.
Here comes Hayes. Going to be a tough play. The scoop. The throw, he makes it look so easy. Bounce left side, picked by Hayes. Throw to second, one to first, picked by Santana. What a double play! Sensational! That's a zip-zap kazoo as the Buccos just turned two.
It's magic. It's magical what this guy does.
Jabrian doesn't even have a glove on. This play is going on. He's in the big leagues, and he doesn't even have a glove on. Why doesn't he have a glove on? Because if you watch a little longer, he's pulling sunflower seeds out of his back pocket. Oh, yeah. And during the play, he's going to have some sunflower seeds and spit them on the floor while Escobar runs in. That's September baseball when you're in the Pittsburgh Pirate organization right now.
I mean, I just went to my pocket and got seeds. I eat seeds the whole game. Been doing that, so I guess just happened to be on camera.
Got him. So Hayes strikes out.
High heat for the finish. Opponents hitting 362 against this four-seamer, and that's fourth highest in the majors. And a swing and a miss. Nasty slider right there.
Here's the 0-1. And a drive to left center field. Hit deep to the track, to the wall. And clear the deck. Cannonball coming. Key Brian Hayes, his second home run of the season. Pirates are on the board. It's 3-1.
Goodbye, Key. That was a very nice tribute. A well-rounded tribute, whatever the opposite is of a tribute to Key Brian Hayes.
Really touched all the bases, just like the third baseman for the Mets did when Key Brian Hayes had the sunflower seeds in his hand.
That, to me, was the highlight of all, and I couldn't quite hear his interview. Did he say, I've been eating seeds the whole game?
Yes, he did. So that's what he said. He eats seeds during the game. He didn't see much of a problem with it.
Oh, my God. You know, I'm happy today. I'm happy. It was just the other night again. I was watching a game, the one in San Francisco, I think Monday night, with my wife, saying, are we different from everybody else? Does everybody else notice that he keeps walking to the plate 600 times a year and nothing ever happens? Like, it feels limits like when I played the trombone in high school. And I played it horribly, just horribly. I used to clean it with aftershave lotion, which was not recommended, but I did. I didn't know my part, but the band that we had needed a trombone player. So I would fake my way through it. And then I would go one time. We went on a band trip. This one time at band camp. We went on a band trip. And I had this horrifying feeling because I was faking my way through the songs when people were watching. You know what I mean? It was an actual concert, and I didn't know how to play, and I was faking my way through it.
It was like Elf when the dad was not singing and the son calls him out. He's like, you're not singing.
Right.
Come on, dad, start singing. And then the sleigh takes off.
Right, exactly. Although I have no idea what you're referring to.
No, the movie?
Yes, I know.
Buddy the Elf and his
Buddy
family?
The Elf. Yeah. Oh, yes. Now, actually, I do.
Thank you.
And thank you for mentioning that. And nobody noticed. And so I said this the other night. I said, are we the only ones who notice like that he sort of sneaks up to the plate, makes an out? It's usually, you know, some sort of weak line drive or he tops the ball to the pitcher. Always a ground out. Never an extra base hit. In fact, in his last 788 at-bats, Key Brian Hayes had 27 extra base hits. Think about that for a moment. 788, 27, if I have my numbers right, and something like six home runs. Are we the only ones who see this? It's like he's getting away with something. He just He walks up to the plate very quietly, makes a quiet out, and goes back to the dugout. Do they not notice? Do the Pirates not know that their third baseman can't hit? That he never gets a hit? That he never, ever gets an extra base hit? I mean, does the fielding make up for that? I don't think so. Is anybody else watching? The games are on television. There's still millions of people around the world, or at least around a million, who are Pirates fans, right? If you added them all up, do they not know? Do they not notice that this guy goes up to the plate all the time and makes a weak out and then goes back to the dugout? He batted fifth the other night. He was batting fifth right after the cleanup guy. And he made another bunch of quiet outs.
That's when the fifth batter bats after the cleanup guy.
Usually, yes. And we were talking about that. I'm like, I guess we are. It's like a ghost. Nobody else is noticing. It's like me with the band playing the trombone, and thank God they didn't notice. Well, apparently somebody finally noticed. And that's it for Key Brian Hayes in Pittsburgh. And I hope that's the beginning of something way bigger today. Myself, but for yesterday, for a first big move, this was the very definition of addition by subtraction. I'll say this about Key Brian Hayes. He's one of the greatest fielders I've ever seen in baseball. And like a lot of you, I've been watching for a long, long time. He's a magician at third base. Unbelievable. But he's also one of the worst hitting regular third basemen that I've ever seen in my life. And the fact that they got somebody to take him, let alone to give up actual humans in return, and I don't care who they are. I don't care. One of them's a relief pitcher who won't even be here after the season. Great. I mean, this was getting rid of salary. It was getting rid of a guy with a chronic back issue that seems to flare up all the time. I don't know that it did this year. I don't know if it did, but it has in other years. And finally, they're out from underneath this. Finally. And I don't care if Key Brian, well, I do kind of, if he goes to Cincinnati and plays great. It wouldn't surprise me if he started to hit. He's had good months. He hit 300 in June. Zero power whatsoever, but it wouldn't surprise me in the least if he went to Cincinnati and suddenly took off, if they figured out something offensively with him too, and maybe even something with his back. But to get out of that contract, and I'm not even talking about the money, because the money is pennies, although it frees up some for the Pirates. The Pirates, you know, pennies are their coin of realm around here. It does free up some pennies, but it also just gets you out of a how many more years of this guy? I think 2030 was a club option. So 26, 27, 28, 29. I mean, this is manna from baseball heaven right here. To get out of this contract and to never have to watch him hit again unless they're playing the Reds. This was a disaster. A disaster signing, Key Brian Hayes. So I guess good on the Pirates for getting out of this. But it's also his entire career here is a reflection of a lot of things. His story is in many ways the Pirates' story in the Ben Cherington era, the failed Ben Cherington regime. And I don't even think he drafted him, did he? I think it was Neil Huntington.
It was.
But the whole story is the Cherington story in terms of, well, many things. Not being able to develop a hitter, not being able to come up with any solutions at all, being incredibly dysfunctional, it seemed, and thin-skinned. When Hayes finally started to hit the 1 year, it was because of his old double-A hitting coach, or a coach that he knew anyway from rising in the system. Was it Joe Nunnally? Is that how you say it, Limits?
John Nunnally, yes.
John Nunnally. Anyway, his last name was Nunnally. Mr. Nunnally, we'll call him, okay?
Now, Nunnally, no longer here. None of them are longer here.
So they wind up firing Nunnally. After it's revealed, I think Jason Mackey had the story back then, that Hayes went back to Nunnally, got some instructions, some tips, whatever, and started cracking the ball for one of the only times in his career. You remember when he first came up, he was unbelievable in the COVID season. And then we didn't see it really again for a while until the Nunnally breakthrough. And then I'll never forget during the Shelty show, I had Shelty on one week and asked him about it. And it was like some taboo topic that he got all weird about right away. Like, what's happening here? Then Cherington was weird about it on his show. And then the next thing you know, after the season, Mr. Nunnally is fired. He's fired. So backtrack a little bit. First of all, he's a guy in your organization. Why wouldn't you want your players using all the resources in your organization, people that you hired or kept on or whatever, you're responsible for them. You get credit for that. That's a good thing. It's a good thing that one of your hitters would go to somebody else in the organization under your umbrella and get help. Mr. Nunnally should have been praised, Limits, not fired. And again, when I did the Shelty show that week, I immediately knew, uh-oh, he doesn't want to talk about Nunnally. They don't want to give Mr. Nunnally credit. The whole thing was just odd. The injury thing was ridiculous. Why the guy was still playing, I don't even know what year it was. It was 3 years ago, I think, that he did an interview late in the season saying he was having trouble getting on and off planes and his back was bothering him. And yet he's out there every day for a team whose season had been lost months earlier. Why was he playing? Why was he playing with a back that was so bad that he couldn't get on and off the plane? Does anybody know? And then if the Reds wind up figuring this out, it'll make the Pirates look even worse. It was an unmitigated disaster, and that goes back to the Huntington regime. I won't say it was a bad draft pick, but we can't be really that surprised that a guy whose major league track record mirrors his minor league track record as a hitter. At AAA, Key Brian Hayes hit something like 260, something like that in his AAA career with no power. And then the same thing happened in the majors. So to me, this is a big time win. And it's also reflective of the dysfunction of the Cherington regime and perhaps the regime before him. Limits in terms of drafting, developing, reacting, PR, whatever you want to call it, maybe even possibly injury management. Did we ever determine what the hell was wrong with the guy?
Well, he had the chronic back issues.
Yeah, I know that. What were they?
They tried to call non-chronic, but significantly affected him to the point where he had to completely change his swing this year.
What do you mean non-chronic? Were they chronic or non-chronic?
Well, a lot of people thought they were chronic. They wouldn't admit that they were chronic.
For the old chronic, non-chronic injuries. And this year he used two hands on the bat. So that's part of the dysfunction too, is the hitting coaches and the hitting philosophy and the disaster
and his
that
family,
has been the Pirates offense.
And his family chirping on social media.
Yeah, then you had,
fans.
Right.
Oh man, that was constant. Whether it was his brother, it was his dad. His dad tweeted, "Everything happens for a reason," yesterday or 2 days ago.
Right.
And we were like, oh, well, looks like Key Brian Hayes might actually get traded after all.
Right.
I thought Roundtree made a really good point on Twitter yesterday. He tweeted out the quote, "It's time for us as an organization to put a stake in the ground." That was the owner on opening day 2022 after Hayes signed the $70 million deal. And Roundtree adding, "Today he's traded for an A-ball shortstop and a 34-year-old reliever at the end of his contract, who I would not be surprised is dealt by 6 p.m. today."
Which is
fine.
It's fine with me. Yeah, I don't care. This was getting rid of a contract and a chronic issue, which was both Hayes' back and his hitting. And now they can start over at third base. I don't know. Guys get converted to third base all the time. Infielders get converted. I don't know how they're going to configure it. Maybe they'll use his money to go out and get somebody who's reasonably competent as far as being a power hitter at a power hitting position. That would be novel, right?
If they had an offense that was as good as their pitching is, and you could hide Key Brian Hayes at third and bat him ninth in the order and play really good defense, that would be entirely fine. But it's the exact opposite of that. And Connor Griffin is a year away, and you need at least two additional bats other than him.
How do you know he's at least a year away?
I would imagine they're not going to have him on the opening day roster next year. Guy's still an A-ball. If he's going to be able to skyrocket.
Guys rocket through other systems. McHenry said he could be here next year.
Well,
maybe not on the opening day roster, but maybe.
When I say a year away, I mean right around this time next year.
Oh, I hope so.
Middle of July, end of July.
I hope so.
I don't mean 27.
Okay.
I think that he could be here in July, beginning of August next season. But you can't rely on that for the start of the year. So now you need a third baseman. You need a left fielder. They're going to trade IKF, so they're going to need a shortstop until Griffin gets here. And I still don't feel good about Horowitz at first base. And then, yes, your catchers now can't hit.
Now you need a catcher. Yeah, you need a catcher. Unbelievably, they need a catcher.
So they had to do this, and they had to move off of Hayes. I never understood the argument that you have to package him with someone else just to get rid of him. Like, somebody was going to take a really good defender and try to convince themselves that they could bank on finding a way to make him hit. The prospect that they got back, Sammy Stafura, was a second-round pick last year. He is now their seventh best prospect this year in A-ball, 262. But again, it's just A-ball, 48 RBIs. Also steals 30 bases a year the last 2 years. And Rodgers, they could potentially get something for, a lefty reliever who maybe they package with Bednar for a bat. But now, according to a lot of insiders, like the Bob Nightingales of the world and the John Hammonds of the world, Bednar is now the biggest fish in the reliever market. Like, he is the guy that is creating a bidding war.
Good. Because today, the bigger moves need to be made. That was addition by subtraction. You didn't get anything that's going to help you maximize the Skeens window. That's what today is for. And I'm as adamant as I've ever been, and I think the trade deadline, 6 p.m. today, I'm as adamant as I've ever been that it's absolutely time to trade Bednar and Keller and take a shot at getting some bats. Why? We talked before the show. Actually, let's start with Bednar. Because there was an interesting little tidbit from our friend the Noah Constrictor. Was this yesterday with the PM guys? Who was he with, Limits? Where he talked about Bob Nutting in the past putting the kibosh maybe on moving David Bednar because of his local ties.
The optics of it all are going to play a little bit of a part in it, right? If he brings in someone, if he trades away David Bednar, a guy that he knows his boss really appreciates, right? But Bob Nutting has gone out of his way to prevent Bednar from getting traded before.
That's a little newsy, isn't it there, Limits?
Yeah, and it could mean that they could step in again. That the owner could step in again to prevent a
Bednar trade. Yeah, so he loves David Bednar. Does he love David Bednar enough to pay him the going rate when he's a UFA in 2027? Bednar has 1 year of arbitration. He's going to be 31 years old. So he's going to step in and block a trade that'll make his team better? I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Plus, the whole local thing, while it's awesome that David Bednar is a local kid, I think we saw early last year how far that goes, didn't we? When they boot him off the mound, practically?
You can move past that. And if David Bednar wants to come back after the 2026 season and they sign him back in free agency, I would be all for it. But right now, especially with where the market is, you could even package, I think, Bednar and Santana to a team and acquire an actual hitter.
Yes, right.
Like Johan Duran, the closer from Minnesota, who is a really good player, all-star closer. Bednar, two-time all-star. Duran does have one more year additionally on his contract, though. Acquired two top 100 guys from Philadelphia and one that already made their major league debut in Mick Abel. If you can acquire a hitter of very similar light, who is a top 50 guy, who is in AAA, that is knocking on the door and is just one call away and ready to go, or that has already made their debut in a couple of weeks and played in the majors, that's the type of guy that you need to get. Similar to what Brian Reynolds was like in the McCutchen trade.
I agree, but I think Keller gets you the bigger fish. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that,
okay.
Yes.
Then why are you so adamant, as we mentioned before the show, about trading Keller?
See, I would rather keep Keller because, again, he's still affordable. He is, and again, I have concerns about the last 2 months of the season as well, like you do. I would rather have Skeens and Keller, the big horses at the top that are more established guys, and trade from the Burrows and the Ashcrafts of the world, younger guys.
See, I wouldn't. I loved what I saw from Burrows. I think Bailey Falter, by the way, is a left-handed Keller. Go look at their numbers.
I'd be fine trading Falter.
No, I'm meaning if I trade Keller, I'm fine with having Falter in the rotation, and I think Oviedo can approximate what Keller has done. Absolutely, I believe that. I think Keller is at the highest value he is ever, ever going to be right this second. People keep telling me you should wait till the offseason. No, I shouldn't. Now is the time to deal him before he potentially crumbles down the stretch.
I agree with that.
While he's at his highest value, and while all these teams are drinking up the idea that, yeah, we could win this, I think he's a guy. Let me give you a trade. Yandy Diaz from Tampa, straight up for Mitch Keller. You doing it?
No.
Why?
Because I'd rather have the horse as a number two.
Is he a true number two?
I think so. I mean, Chandler might eventually bump him down to three. When Chandler gets here, but again, when is Chandler going to get here?
He better get here next year. What do you mean?
Of course he's going to be here next year. He better get here next week.
Okay, so he'll be here next year. You already had the horse that was number two limits. You already have great pitching. We're sitting here.
Who's the number two?
Keller, if you want to call him a number two. He's the number two on this team, either him or Falter right now. And they can't win. Why can't they win? Because they can't hit. So you're telling me you wouldn't take Yandy Diaz, who contractually is sort of matched up with Keller?
For Keller, no. I would rather trade for my bullpen.
Hold on.
Because you could find relievers anywhere.
Hold on a second. Who's contractually matched up with Mitch Keller and who gives you 18 home runs and 809 OPS 2 years ago, 2023, not that long ago, this dude was sixth in the MVP voting in the American League at 330. With a 932 OPS. He slipped back a little last year, but still hit 281. You give me a professional hitter who hits year in and year out to replace Mitch Keller? I'm doing that in a second. I don't understand why you wouldn't. You need hitters to maximize the Skeens window. Keller is easily replaceable.
And if you do maximize the Skeens window, and let's say hypothetically you do get to a playoff series, who do you feel better about? Mike Burrows, Braxton Ashcraft, or Mitch Keller starting game two of a three-game playoff series?
That's thinking a little bit far ahead. How about Bubba Chandler?
About maximizing the Skeens
window, how are you going
to
get there if you can't
hit? About that.
They already have great pitching with Mitch Keller, with Keller and everybody else in that rotation practically, and their bullpen.
I would trade Bednar. I would trade Santana.
Trade Bednar for who?
I would be completely fine.
Santana, what's he going to get you? I want a guy who can already hit in my lineup.
Bednar right now is the best reliever that is possibly available. Where the playoffs have become more relievers at times.
I would trade Bednar. I would trade Bednar for just what you're saying. I don't know that you get you think you get Owen Casey for Bednar?
I think if you package him with Santana, you do.
Okay.
And that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's one. And then you still need more hitting. Plus, I want an established major league hitter before this day is done.
And that's why I'd be completely fine with being able to part ways with some of those younger guys, whether it be a Barco, it be Burrows.
Why would you do that? I don't understand. First of all, Burrows, again, he looked great last night.
Great.
Ashcraft has a live arm.
Don't you think that rises some value?
I'd rather have him in the rotation moving forward than Keller, actually.
See, I don't. I'd rather have Keller. I would, and I think he's had a couple of blow-up starts, but other than that, this year, he's top of the league in quality starts. He's dependable throughout the season.
A quality start is an ERA well over four for the game. And there's no more overrated stat in baseball than a quality start, in my opinion. He's been good this year. I'm not going to argue that, but I don't trust it. I think I read to you or to little intern Dom, who's really been feeling his oats this week. I'll tell you that much.
Is any different than any other week.
Do you have the guy calling out intern Dom the other day by any chance? That was a highlight of the week when he told Dom to jump in the kiddie pool.
Dom's swimming in the deep waters here. We need to send him back to the kiddie pool.
Who was that? Harry or somebody?
I don't know who it was.
For Pomp to say he'd rather have Justin Fields. That's
here we go again. You're going at Pomp.
That's a low point in Pomp's career.
Wow.
I hate to say it.
No, you don't.
That is rock bottom for Pomp.
Wow. All right, let's go back to Harry then for 1 second. I need to hear that again.
Oh, our friend Harry in Westview.
What's your problem, Emmett? What's your problem, Emmett?
No, not him. The guy who said that Dom belongs in the kiddie pool.
Oh, that wasn't Harry in Westview. Harry in Westview is very recognizable.
Dom's swimming in the deep waters here. We need to send him back to the kiddie pool.
That was my favorite moment of the week. I don't know. I they need to hit. We're sitting here today on July 31st, and they've had playoff quality pitching this season, and they're a joke. Regardless of whether they've won seven, what are they? 18 games below 500. The season is a disaster. They are desperate for bats. They're as desperate as any team I've ever seen for bats. Mitch Keller is at the height of his value. Not to mention this, oh, limitless wonder.
Please lay it on me.
You also free up the money. Now, depending on who you get back, but even with Diaz, he's only a $10 million player. So between Hayes and Keller, and I know this is theoretical because you're going to have to actually spend the money, you're also freeing up money to buy more hitting. They have to have hitting. I think that a rotation that begins with Skeens, Chandler, Falter, Oviedo, Burrows, Ashcraft, a veteran who comes in. The one thing that Charrington can do is find veteran pitchers. He's been pretty good at that. I'm great with that rotation. They need to find people who can hit. So he's the best avenue. Him and Bednar. I don't see any reason why, if they take some big swings here and are willing to be a little bit risky, they can't bring in an Owen Casey and a Yandy Diaz. Why not?
Are we using, so we have another sounder for trades. Are we using the bell ringer for rumors today, Joe? Should we do that? Should the bell ringer be for rumors?
Yeah, but I also like the mummy. The unmummified mummy from the morning show. Have you heard that guy?
Of course. If you want me to use
this
the mummy.
This is a mummy waking up after, what, 1,000 years or something?
Yes, this is what the mummy says.
Oh! Oh! That also sounds like Ron after a long night when he wakes up and realizes what's around him. He's to do that too.
So, John Heyman.
Can we borrow that?
The mummy?
Yeah, instead of the bell ringer, every time or if the Pirates make a trade or anybody around baseball makes a trade, I want to hear that.
Oh!
Yeah, I like that better.
Heyman saying, Pirates have been listening, but there's a decent chance that Mitch Keller stays now.
Yeah, Noah's been reporting that.
Yep. And Brian Reynolds was always likely to stay. O'Neill Cruz, always a long shot to go.
That's fine.
So
that's fine. Heyman, don't you, Limits, tell me this. How are you going to get a hitter who already has a good track record in the majors? What's your best avenue? Off-season free agent signing? Trading somebody else?
Well, knowing the way they operate, it's not off-season free agent signing.
Contenders aren't interested right now in the players that you mentioned. They don't want prospects. A team wants Mitch Keller right now. There are teams out there that want that for the playoffs.
A team wouldn't want Mike Burrows with what he's done so far? Or Ashcraft has been lights out in the bullpen. Teams wouldn't want that. Younger guy with more years of control.
The teams that are trying to win the World Series right now, the Yankees, Dodgers, etc., aren't interested in years of control. They're interested in winning the World Series. Are you comparing Mike Burrows to Mitch Keller on that level?
You've been comparing Mike Burrows to Mitch Keller
on that
level.
For the future of this team. Not for a team that wants to trade for him right now.
Yes, Mitch Keller right now is the more attractive piece than the others.
Clearly and obviously, yes, you're not giving up a Yandy Diaz or there's not many out there. Name another Stephen Kwan.
Yeah, I just think that there are other ways that you'd be able to
Give me one that you'd be able to acquire an already bona fide major league hitter.
Again, Bednar, Santana, and another piece, and I think that you can do it.
You've mentioned Triple-A guys for them. Okay.
Yes.
Well, maybe you can.
I honestly believe that if you package those three, you could acquire a significant hitter.
But you've also been on the record as saying they need more than one. Like not just established. I'm talking if this deadline day ends with them picking up a pretty good major league hitter, a good major league hitter, and a Triple-A guy, highly regarded, who's just about ready to crack into the majors and can't because he's blocked, I would consider that a triumph.
Definitely.
One of each.
Plus, you
shedded the... And I don't think you get one of each if Mitch Keller is not involved at all.
Plus, you shedded the money on Key Brian Hayes that you're going to owe him. Plus, the Bednar money would come off the books.
Plus, the Keller money.
That would free up... Well, if you get rid of the Keller money, too, in that instance, you're freeing up $20-plus million to be able to go and do something. That could be a first baseman right there.
Your thoughts, 412-928-9370. Key Brian, we hardly knew ye. We hardly knew Key. Actually, we did know him. And again, it was a pleasure watching that guy play third base, play the position. I think of Andy Van Slyke. Who else do I think of? Great Pirate. I mean, I don't go back as far as Clemente, obviously. But of the ones that I've seen, Key Brian Hayes is right there. Right there as among the greatest Pirates defensive players I have ever seen.
By far.
He made really difficult plays look easy. He made spectacular plays. He was incredibly intelligent defensively. We just saw that the other night again with the infield fly that he let drop. Did you see that from your vacation limits?
I did. Yeah, that was a really smart heads-up play on his part.
He made an unbelievable play earlier this season on a bang-bang play at home, you might recall. A very strange play where the ball was dropped. You remember that one? And he ran in. He had no reason to be there, really, but he was smart enough to run in. And I think he made the tag at the last second, as I recall that play. Just a great defensive player. But that's it. I mean, so was Mario Mendoza. Honestly. You know, you can't have a third baseman at that position who literally never gets an extra base hit, who's basically an automatic out. You can't live with it. He hit .233 last year and .236 this year. .283 on base last year, .279 this year, and maybe worst of all, a .290 slug both years. He never gets an extra base hit. You can't live with it. And now that's a sampling over 2 years of, well, like I said, something like 788 at-bats. In his last 788 at-bats, he only has 19 doubles and 6 homers. Plus, there's the whole chronic back thing in the contract. Hopefully, that's step one. What do you think steps 2 and 3 should be today? And I ain't talking about IKF unless he's a throw-in on a deal to help make it happen.